Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. Oh, here we are, deep in the holiday. And I have to say, Paul, you're late. You were supposed to be here on Thanksgiving.
You weren't. I was here eventually.
I was tracking you through social media. We were eating pies as slow as we could. We were cleaning up as slowly as we could. And then still,
no, I feel
Bella
like
was you, looking out the window.
I feel like you guys, you must have hit the bottle early. Because I think even Aaron texted me like at 7 or 8, like, sorry we missed you or something like that.
Right.
She gave up early, I think.
It was, we traveled pretty early the next day.
Oh, right, you had to go.
It was wrapped up pretty early.
And it was a crappy, wasn't it raining here? Or was it?
It was raining. Yeah. It was like a blizzard here in Los Angeles. There was water coming from the sky. It was cold. It was kind of perfect.
Yeah.
The Thanksgivings, when it's really bright and sunny, are always a little weird. So that's when we try and push it a little later.
Right.
But this one, it was nice and rainy. We put the fire on. We had all the food cranking. I think we probably ate around 4 o'clock.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
But, you know, Thanksgiving's a burst.
Well, it's a lot of work for you.
A ton of work for me. But, and so that's why I know exactly the time that we ate, because everything has to be out at exactly the same time. The birds got to come out, and then, you know, all these side dishes are all at the same time, trying to keep them hot. You know, not that excruciating, but there's a lot going on. Brussels sprouts, broccoli, potatoes, sweet potatoes, which I didn't make. And then the stuffing, the veggie stuffing, the turkey, of course, the cranberries, of course, the canned cranberries for those less cultured among us.
And then, of course, the
wine.
Well, give me the rundown. So you're cooking by, like, what time?
I'm cooking on Wednesday.
Right. But on Thursday, what time are you getting in the kitchen and telling everyone to get out?
On Thursday, well, it starts as a slow roar and then turns into a roaring river.
Because you got your parents here. You got, who else is here?
My parents were staying here. My nephew did not come. We had Erin and her girlfriend and her sister and her boyfriend and his daughter. And then, you know, my family. So it was like, I don't know, 12 people in total.
Right.
And everything was perfect. Everything's good. But, you know, like, you get in there and you're like, it always seems like a little early to be putting the turkey in at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
11 o'clock, but it's when it's got to go in.
It's
about a 4-hour escapade.
Slow cook,
baby. And everything went well. Everything was kind of cruising along. And then, you know, it's all like those last second things. So you start cooking, then you start chopping up the broccoli or the Brussels sprouts, and then you start doing all the things, a little bit here, do the cranberries, we'll knock that out. And you just realize that you've been working for 6 straight hours.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, it's like you're putting it all out, getting it all done, and then the wine, the ever-important wine. And that actually, the biggest trick is when people first arrive, I got to put one of the kids on cocktail duty.
Right.
Because I know how to make the martinis and do all the stuff.
Oh, I thought to keep you from having cocktails while you're cooking.
No, I have to say, that is a very elemental rule in life. And it's very basic, and it really is one of the rules that should stick. No drinking till the meal is complete.
Can't cook and drink. It's like driving.
You really can't. One drink, you get just a little loose, you take your eye off, and everything gets a little wacky.
And then you start getting experimental, and you start putting, like, Skittles in the potatoes.
Yeah. So during all this, you were on multiple planes.
Yeah, so I was getting off in Mexico, and it was funny. There was a buddy of mine, Angelo Zaroukas, who's a big giant, bigger than life Greek guy who
Russell Peters' friend?
Yeah.
I love Angelo.
Yeah, he's a big huge cigar guy.
Uh-huh.
And should be just the gangster buddy's friend in every single movie.
He's gigantic. And he's like a house.
And he is in a lot of movies like that, but he's just a he's the funnest guy to be around because it's your place. You know what I mean? Like, you know how, like, if we're traveling,
right,
we're kind of just talking quietly or whatever.
Yeah.
Angelo can be, you know, we were on the first plane we were on, he was four rows behind me, and he was still having, like, a full-on conversation with me. And, like, normally I'm the type of guy, I'd be a little shy about it, but, like, you can tell everyone loves him, and he's doing his...
Yeah.
It, and I posted the thing about planes, trains, and automobiles. He is like John Candy. It's exactly like what it is, you know.
So you met up with him by coincidence?
So, yeah, he ended up traveling with me on the way, and then on the way back, he ended up with me.
What was he doing?
And he was performing, too, on one of the cruise ships.
Oh.
And so we were in... Oh my God, I gotta ask you about this because we're in the airport in Cozumel, and he runs into this guy, like a really in shape guy that did, he had all the what are those called? Iron Man? They had like a big Iron Man thing in Cozumel. I guess this is a guy who owns the big cigar place in Sherman Oaks. I don't know what it's called, but it's like a super nice place, I guess.
In Sherman Oaks?
Yeah. And I'll get you the name afterwards.
Okay.
He introduced me to the guy, and then I told him, smoked Cubans with Tom Papa and Bill Burr and
right?
And Angelo, because I've met Angelo at like cigar places too. He's like one of those guys.
Yeah,
and, so he's like, so we get to the big flight is Miami to L.A.
Right,
and so it leaves. You know, it's whatever 6 o'clock. So if I get stranded, my parents and my brother are in Miami, so I'll just have Thanksgiving with them.
Oh, okay.
And so, but then also I'm racing to get back here to see if we can make up some time.
Right.
And, but the big thing is your airline, which we'll always talk good about, American Airlines, they were nice enough to give me status for the rest of this year, which I told you, I think they kind of screwed something up, so I'm gold. You know, I'm not... concierge key or whatever
baby
you
status.
Are. Yeah, yeah. So Angelo has the big status, and I ask, like, hey, am I even on, like, a upgrade thing or anything? And the lady's like, oh, no, you're not on there, but we can put you on. And she's like, but you need, like, 6 upgrade passes for this.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, I don't have any. I just started with you guys. And she's like, well, I put you on, and they wouldn't let me put you on if you didn't have enough. So you're on. You're second right now.
Oh, wow.
So Angelo's more excited about this than I am. And he's just like...
he's already up
he's
there.
Like, these are the pods, man. This is like the sleepaway thing. Like you,
ooh, the best.
It's like $5,000 to upgrade this. And he's like, you'd never get this except for it's a holiday and there's like a couple open. So he's like, he checks the thing. He's like... there's 2 seats open, man. There's 2 seats. He's like, you can make it. And then the guy calls me up, and he's like, and Angelo's like, yeah, Paul, yeah. Like, it's like a football game, man. And he's getting, like, everybody else to cheer for some reason. And I get up there, and the guy's like, hey, there's a problem because, I don't know, it says you have to pay to upgrade. I was like, oh, man, okay. He's like, how much is it? He's like, it's $12.15. I was like, oh, here. He's like, here you go. I'll take
$12.
It. $12? Yeah. I don't even know where that came from. Yeah. So I was like, just get me on. Here, take it. Here's 20.
Keep the change.
And so, yeah, I got...
So you podded all the way
I
back?
I got on the pod for Thanksgiving dinner. So I had some kind of like sesame chicken, like a real... That's what's so crazy about it is that... you can live that. I mean, this is a thing that they give you $500 noise-canceling headphones. Mm-hmm. They give you a sleeping package, which is a whole bag just filled with, like...
socks, sleep mask.
Earplugs.
Ointments.
There was, like, the...
handy wipes.
That powder to help your immune system. It's, like, everything in this. And, like, every other flight, there's a guy like sitting on your lap.
Yeah.
It's got to be a middle ground.
There's no middle ground. They've taken up so much space too with those with that class that there's no, they've squeezed everyone in the back even more.
Yeah.
And I always remark at how you have all this space, they're treating you so well, you're so comfortable. You have all this, you can take your laptop out, do all of your work,
mm-hmm.
and then you're back there in coach on the same flight. And if you're not in the first row where no one's in front of you, you can't even open your laptop.
Right.
And
it's impossible.
Because everyone's banging into you. The guy, if the person in front of you puts their seat back an inch,
mm-hmm.
your laptop is toast.
Yeah.
So they don't even, it's like you, they think so little of you, like you wouldn't possibly be doing work back there.
Right.
You know what I mean? The poor don't really need to work.
If you had important work, you'd be up here.
Just stare at the screen and get through it. No, I know. There's no, I know. Tomorrow I'm going to New York because I'm doing Gotham Comedy Club this weekend, Saturday, Friday and Saturday. I'm doing Live From Here on Saturday and then Monday doing Come to Papa and at the Village Underground.
Right.
So I'm taking off tomorrow and I'm in the front row of coach, you know, because that's the other thing when you're paying for it yourself. My flight is probably $300.
Yeah.
If I were to pull the trigger on business class, it would be about close to $3,000.
Right.
So it's like, you know.
It's not close enough to make the, like if it, no. if it's like $100, $200.
Yeah. If you're on one of those flights, you know, like in the middle of the country and you're just, and it's not, and they're like, okay, you can upgrade to first class for $75.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Or your $12 situation. But, you know, if I'm in the front row of American there, like, that's a great seat.
Yeah.
It's a great seat. You have, can do all your work. There's no problem. There's, you have the aisle. It's perfect. And then if they pump me up because of my status, then it's, you know, icing on the cake. But to pay those prices, you really have to have a company paying for you.
Yeah, it's not even the seat. It's like location.
Yeah.
It's like if you... Because you're like, this is $50 more. Is there more legroom? Like, oh, no, it's just further up in the plane.
Right.
It's like, what the heck? That doesn't mean anything.
I know.
But it is like, and I don't want to talk about, like, I've been doing comedy for a long time, and this is the first time I've ever gotten a pod. And
yeah.
It was, like, amazing. So I'm not, like, getting used to it. But it did, like.
Now you're spoiled, though.
Well,
you just slept with a supermodel.
I feel like you could have like got if you had like a date there, something could have gone down with nobody noticing.
Yeah,
like the seat goes completely flat. I think you get slippers
mm-hmm.
and a bathrobe or something.
Did you take a nap? Did you lay down?
Yeah.
And sleep?
Well, that was the thing is I downloaded The Irishman and I was like, well, this is. My plan is like this 3.5 hours, this mm-hmm. whole flight will fly by because I'm going to watch this. And then
right. And
then this happens. So you got live football on like a big screen TV in front of you.
It really is.
They're
insane.
Giving you a 5-course meal. Like they're literally like waking you up to give you food.
I know.
Like, do you,
free
heated
alcohol.
Nuts? Yeah, all the top shelf stuff.
It really is great.
And
I can't believe that's the first time you were on that.
Yeah, that's because I don't fly American ever.
Right.
So
United and. American have and Delta's too, but I'm hardly ever on there.
Well, this also was because of the plane,
right?
Like, you know, like you go to New York to LA a lot. Like, if I was
right.
just going through like the first flight, I went through Fort Worth, which
right.
they're not having that, but the Miami flight was going to like New Zealand, so it's like a 777,
right.
So it's just giant plane,
right? Yeah,
and so
yeah.
if you went all the way there, that would be like a $10,000 seat, man.
Well, I have to say. You know, I was feeling bad for you, missing out on Thanksgiving. The whole table was like, oh, it's weird without Paul. You'd been there for, like, I don't know, the last 5 years in a row. And everyone was like, poor Paul. If they could only have seen you, just kick
yeah.
back. If you're in
I
your-
was going to send you a picture, but I was like, oh, man. But then, you know, it was a huge stressful day because it's like it was planes, trains, and automobiles. Like we
yeah.
get off of Mexico and it's mayhem, like getting through customs and there's
yeah.
just random people wanting to check your bags and everything.
Dude, I for the first time used my global entry.
Oh, okay.
With my family because I went the next day after
you're a criminal before.
Yeah, and now I'm absolved. And now my whole family, we just cruised from. I did a gig in Mexico after Peyton Manning was there.
Beautiful down there, right?
It's gorgeous.
Cabos. Los Cabos. Did you know there's two cities?
Yes, Cabo San Lucas and Los Cabos.
And the other one. But there's two cities. It's Cabo San Lucas and I forget what the other one's called, but that's why they call it Los Cabos.
Oh.
So do you know which Cabos one you went to?
I don't know. The fancy one.
Yeah, because there's one that's like, because they have that brand new highway, mm-hmm. and then the one city's right there, and then Cabo San Lucas is kind of like down the coast a little bit.
Oh, okay. I'm not really sure. But it was great. We had a fun gig and all that stuff. It was, and took my parents who've been here hanging with us.
That's cool.
For the holiday, and so we got to take them. We went to down to Mexico 2 days in the sunshine, all thanks to me doing a gig.
That's great.
And a thing. So that was great. And then when we came back, it was like the whole trip was perfect until we landed at LAX and they sat on the tarmac for an hour. We were early and then they just dragged it out. And we had to take a bus over to the other terminal to go through customs and it was a real ball buster, except that we had our global entry.
Nice.
And we just skated right through. It was so sweet.
Oh, wait. So what do you mean through customs back in?
Coming back in.
Okay.
Yeah. You just walk right up to the thing,
yeah.
They give you a receipt, and you're out.
Great. I should do that.
You totally should do it. And all you have to do is pay like $100. And you go down to the airport, you make an appointment.
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to get interviewed or something.
Yeah, but it's great. You just cruise down there, and it's kind of fun when you go to the airport and don't fly. You just go down there for your interview and then go home. It's kind of like a low pressure. Because every time, even if... As seasoned a traveler as you are, when you're heading to the airport, there's a little stress. You're a little like, okay, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen. You're going to meet a man, he's going to give you global entry, and you're going to drive home. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So what did you do when you got there? That's the thing. Have you seen LAX now? It's so bad that on the international terminal, did the guy... So this is the other cool thing. Remember I told you I was worried about leaving at 4 in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
So I got the Uber, like, XL. It wasn't the black, but, like, the next size up. So then I do get the guy like your guy. Like, he's an Armenian dude that's been driving for 40 years.
A professional.
And has, like, a mat where he keeps his elbow.
Right.
And he's just a gregarious guy. Like, loves what he does. And was showing me, you know, playing me all this music from, you know,
Armenia.
Sinatra stuff. Yeah, like all these famous singers. And so we get to LAX and he's like, see it right there? And I noticed the whole facade on like the international terminal was taken down. And he's like, yeah, they're building, the train is going to go right to there. He's like, they're building it so fast now because it's such a nightmare that they know people are going to be so mad because of how bad it's been. So that's how quickly they're like trying to get through this whole thing. Because we talked about when you have to like take a bus just to get to the Uber pickup.
The Uber
now.
Thing, yeah, man. It's I thought it was going to solve the problem, but it hasn't.
Yeah, it's
because they're only doing it on pickup.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, there's still a ton of people dropping off. I mean, we landed and it was like, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, Sunday night of Thanksgiving weekend, which is the busiest travel day in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a half hour to get out of the airport. We're in the car. Everything's cool. We global entried. We just slid like nothing and then just sat just in that thing, which is like a quarter mile.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It has not solved the problem.
No.
Moving the Uber people out is not.
So that's why they're like just building that train as fast as they can now, which is great that it had to get this bad.
When will they be done with it, though?
I don't know. But, I mean, they're doing it like they got to get it done. You know what I mean? It was like, I was there like 2 days earlier and nothing was going on. And then like all of a sudden there's like 24 hours a day. Because this is like 4 a.m. they're working on it.
Right. That's good. That would be awesome. So you made it back.
Well, so me and Angelo are on the same plane, right?
Right.
We live down the street from each other.
There's really?
A million like Fortune, Burt Kreischer, like everybody lives on the same street, like the same neighborhood.
That's where Burt lives?
Yeah.
Damn.
And so we were like, I was telling him about my strategy about the shuttle, and he goes, oh no, my wife wants to come down and pick us up. So we'll take you. And I was like, oh, you sure, man? Because I don't want to be imposed. He's like, ah, what are you, silly? You know? Yeah. So we jump in there, and he's, you know, his wife is this, you know, equally fun, like, Greek girl.
They must have a big car.
Yeah, of course. He's got the big Cadillac. And soon as we get in, oh, honey, the tires. 29. It's supposed to be 37. She's like, oh, I don't know. And it was raining out. Oh, so it's yeah. like, we got to get this fixed. So we're.
Oh,
so
no.
As soon as we get in there, we think we're relaxed. He's like, send her on this goose chase to like get the tires. And it was out of like Moonstruck or something. It was just like, he's outside in the rain, like telling her how to back into the airplace. And, you know, he's got to get enough quarters to get in.
And you're like, thanks, guys,
for
the ride.
It was hilarious. But yeah, it was like this extra. So, I mean, I don't think I got it back until maybe 10, because it was just such a goose chase when we got back there.
Yeah.
So by the flight definitely saved me. Like,
yeah, that
just to relax for a few hours.
Yeah, come on, it's the best.
So, yeah, that was pretty good. But wait, what was the highlight for the was there a pie contest? Did Aaron end up going in it, or
there was no contest? The contest was just a friendly offering of pies, because Cynthia made, she was on fire this year. She made pumpkin and apple that were both way above what they normally are.
Oh, nice.
They're normally good, but this was just a whole nother level. They were really kick-ass. And then Charlotte made the chocolate pie, and then...
Now, do you eat that? Are you happy that I at least got that tradition going?
The chocolate? I didn't have
it. A pudding pie?
I didn't have it.
You didn't?
It goes so fast. Everybody takes it. By the time I wander in there...
Yeah, your dad loves that one.
Yeah, and I figure like all the kids like it, so I just let them have it. And then I go pumpkin and apple are mine. And they were amazing. But then the next morning, we were 4 o'clock out on the road.
Oh, that's
which is
crazy.
So funny, because I'm so used to it. My kids are used to it, because I make them travel that way when we go cross-country. But my parents were just like, what?
Yeah.
We haven't been up at 4 in the morning in our lives. But they did great.
That's
they were
good.
Strong. They got chucked them in a car at 4 in the morning after Thanksgiving. We were in Mexico at 10:30 in the morning.
That's crazy.
And we all had the deepest nap at like 3, 4 o'clock that day
Siesta.
Before dinner. Oof, it was deep. But like it worked. It wasn't like it messed you up. Like it was like a deep... All right, we're ready to go. It was good. The whole thing was good.
And you got nachos?
Yeah, which is so funny.
Real nachos?
Not really.
No? They had them at the airport in Cozumel. Dude. You could get chicken and like the real cheese, like,
well, they
like
put,
flamed on.
They put mozzarella cheese on it.
Really?
Where we were.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
What the hell is going on here? This should be nacho heaven. The meat on it was amazing.
Right.
But yeah, it was really kind of weird. I was the nachos. The food was okay. Went to a steakhouse. That was fun. But it was really just about, I was fried by the end of it.
Yeah.
Like I was really.
Because you had no break from Thanksgiving, really.
I had no break from all the shows, all the stuff, and then cooking all through Thanksgiving. That was a whole nother thing. I was just been running. Like it was just, when I got there, I was just like. You know, you can tell when you go when you need a vacation, when you observe how you are on the way out from when the way you were coming in, like going to the front desk and dealing. It was like, I was just like pretending to be human when I got there. And then on the way out, I was definitely rejuvenated. And you know what? That's all you need. 2 days. That's perfect.
Yeah.
It's enough. 2 days in a resort, sitting on a lounge chair. Son, I even had a show that night. The night I got there, I had the show, which was good. I got it out of the way. But in the middle of the set, I was like, gee, I can't believe I'm still going. But yeah, 2 days of sun and no gigs, no nothing, and then come back home. You're pretty good.
Yeah, you'd be bored if you had like more than 2 days. I mean, you even had one show there anyway.
Right. Yeah, I know. To go down there with no shows would really be
a shame. You'd get
then,
the Colin Quinns.
But then you're like everybody else, and you're paying. Like, I didn't have to pay. I walked out of there with money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's the same with me. Like, I'm getting paid to, like, you know, I got to go to Cozumel the night before. So I'm, like, kind of like, on vacation, and it was funny, because I, you know, I flew out early that morning, but I got there.
Right.
It's one of those things where, like you said, like, do you take this, like, crazy nap?
Yeah.
And miss everything, or do you try to, like, at least enjoy the day a little bit?
Yeah.
And so I got to this place, and it's, like, right on the water, like, all these places that are, like, you know, the...
They look gorgeous.
The ladder goes right into the sea, and...
So where were you with Hemingway's writing palace?
Oh, that was... So that was on the... On one of the stops, we went to Key West, which is where we're performing in February.
Yeah, how are we going to get there?
Yeah, it's not routed correctly, because I think we're doing... Aren't we doing Tampa first?
Yeah, like, and then way up there, and then we got to go down to... This is in February, we're doing...
Ponte Vedra is, like, near Jacksonville.
Right.
And then, so it's like the triangle, kind of.
Yeah, I don't know how we get from Tampa to Key West. Can you fly into Key West? I don't think so.
I don't know.
And it's a long drive getting down the Keys.
Maybe we'll take a boat.
I think we might have to. Yeah, I think there is a ferry.
Have you ever been there before?
No. I've been in the top of the Keys.
Yeah.
But I was never all the way in Key West.
You'll love it.
So that's where you saw Hemingway's...
Yeah, his house. So they had his house, uh-huh. which was like... became you know, a touristy thing while he was still living there.
Right.
But you'll love it. Like, you'll...
Yeah.
You know, but the only thing that sucks about it is oh, I mean, I'll say the good things first. Like, I don't know how he ended up moving there, but, like, he ended up living there for 3 or 4 years, did all of his best work there,
mm-hmm.
had a garage... And built a catwalk so he could walk, like, from his balcony to the garage and, like, did all his writing there.
Right.
So that's what I took the pictures from is, you know, his office is still the same, you know, the desk and everything.
Right.
Because he just left there and went to Cuba. Like, they had a really bad hurricane.
Uh-huh.
And so he just decided to go to Cuba, and he went to Cuba for, like, 20 years.
20 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he got kicked out of Cuba when the
embargo
revolt went.
Yeah.
There was some kind of forget when it was, but that's when he moved to Idaho, and it ended soon after. But he was always super happy in Cuba. But this place, so he had you know, he used to drink a ton. Like, he would write early in the morning, like 6 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had a boxing ring in his front yard, and he would box. And he also refereed, like, boxing matches there. And one of the trips when he went away, his wife had a pool built where the boxing ring was.
Oh.
And it cost, like, $20,000.
He started boxing.
And he didn't
around.
Have any money.
Oh, jeez.
And he's like, here's my last cent. And he just threw it at her, kind of. And that's... cemented to the pool still, that penny.
Oh, really? That's cool.
But the worst part is he had these cats, like, from the ships would bring in, like, these stray cats.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like, bad luck to do anything bad to cats, but there are all these, like, seven-toed cats, so they look like they have thumbs.
Yeah.
And there's 59 of them.
Uh-huh.
Still, like, they're not allowed to... The cats are just all over the grounds.
How's there always 59?
I don't know. And there's been, like, this controversy that they put in, like, a housing thing and a person to take care of them, but uh-huh. it's, like, a historical landmark, so they can't really mess with it.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that sucks about it, but they're
Why
not...
Why does that suck?
Because they're cats.
You're so against cats that the weird...
Just laying
cats
around.
With thumbs.
Yeah, that is creepy. Because they do look like they just have hands.
Wow. Was it a big house?
It's big, but not like, it's not like any kind of, like, giant mansion. It's just like a two-level, it was like the first house to have an in-ground pool. And he had it was a wine cellar that was actually above sea level. So, like, everything stayed, like, he had all these, like, kind of cool, like, rich guy kind of things implemented, but it
so
wasn't
he was
like
living
a
pretty well there.
Yeah, yeah, but he was still, you know, all the letters on the wall are, you know, he always kind of like Twain, like, he always was writing, you know, because he's like,
cool.
I hate to write you letters because I could get, I should be getting paid for this. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah. He was wasting his time.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was really cool, man. You'll dig it because it's all his, you know, all the typewriters and even the books that he owned are, like, still there. It was just really cool to see. And there's a lighthouse right next to the house, and that's what he would use to, like,
for his timing.
If he got drunk, he would see, he'd go to the lighthouse so he could get home. And the one place, the famous place, Sloppy Joe's, it was kind of like his bar. And when the guy moved it, he stole the urinal out of the bar.
Oh, yeah, I saw your picture.
And he put it in the backyard, and it's like a fountain now. Like, remember I told you my buddy has the Billy Martin urinal, the gold urinal? That's what you'd have to do with it. You'd have to, like, put it in as a fountain.
Hilarious. Hey, I've got breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Lawnmower 3.0 launch. You know, Manscaped has been our sponsor for a while now.
Yes.
And they help you trim up all of your most important parts that you only share with a select few. Well, this is a pubic service announcement from the Manscaped engineering team. They spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0.
Lawnmower? That yeah. sounds scary.
Their third generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent accidents. Millions are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology.
Well,
this is the
good.
Funniest sponsor we've had. I like these guys. If you've used the Lawnmower 2.0, it's an easy transition because it's the same replacement blade with new improved skin-safe technology. And this is premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes. So you can take a longer shave. Actually, that should just be for travel.
Yeah, that's for Hemingway.
How much time do you want to spend doing it? They upgraded their motor to a quiet stroke technology so people won't hear what you're doing when you're trimming your junk. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code PAPA, P-A-P-A, at manscaped.com. Get 20% off free shipping with the code PAPA, P-A-P-A, at manscaped.com. And you will enjoy and be happy and all trimmed up for the holidays.
So manscaped.com, that was still available? That's pretty good.
Yeah, no kidding.
Easy to remember, manscaped.com.
Very good. No, you know, I still, when we went and visited Mark Twain's place, what campus was that?
Elmira College.
Elmira. I still remember that. That was a great day. And we didn't even, like, get really that far in and spend that much time. It was,
yeah.
Just seeing all of it was just so moving, wasn't it?
Yeah, I really dig. I mean, that Hemingway was kind of, is like I told you, remember I told you about the Sun Valley place where he wrote, like they still have one of those hotel rooms where he wrote For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Right.
Did you ever go in that room or did they not let you in?
Like, no.
They have, like, you know, they have that room, and then the other one is Cuba, but I haven't been to Cuba yet, so this Key West house is, like, his real, you know, workplace, you know what I mean?
Right.
Where he did all his great stuff.
Right, right.
Could never really capture, because he was really happy there, you know?
Interesting. So he was writing most when he was happiest.
Well, I mean, he was doing, you know, boxing during the day, he was drinking every night, and then he would just get up really early and write in this room.
Yeah.
And I liked that. I took a bunch of pictures because I wanted to, like, capture for you. Like, I'm always obsessed with, like, okay, when you're writing, what should the view be? Should it be? Because, you know, you have the thing where it's like, okay, you're always looking out in the street or you're looking. You know, and I think you always have to be pointed. Like, if yours was pointed, like, to overlook your pool, I think that's that would be your ideal location.
Maybe. I kind of think it might be a horrible location.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's something about it's too tranquil.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why whenever it's always difficult to write on vacation. You're, like, in this room and you hear the ocean and you see people relaxing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, seeing a palm tree in a pool is like, ugh. this is at least a little bit of a street, and yeah, there's something about it not having too much meaning of relaxation. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think you'd be good on that?
Well, but I just noticed that, you know, a lot of these guys, like, it's always, like, in their garage. Like, this, you know, he had this giant house that all these people lived in, and he just had to get away from them. So that's why he ended up, you know, same with Twain.
Like, right.
I'm sure he had enough money that he had this huge, huge mansion, but then he builds this little man cave or whatever that he can work in.
You really just need focus. Like, you just need... You know, you just really need to have like uber focus for a stretch of time. Doesn't, you know, the amount of time can vary and all that, but you need to be able to just kind of lock in. And you never know. Like sometimes on a plane, I'm able to shut everything out, put on the headphones, and just I'm just in there. And sometimes it's bumpy and there's distractions. And sometimes even like you're in a new place and you keep getting up and moving around and changing the light. Now I need water. Now I did that. You know what I mean? It's like you're interrupted. If you can just create some environment where you're just... And that's why people get into the routines, like the writing routines, because you've essentially created a scenario that you know works and that you can slip in and have that focus, and then you'll go about your day after that.
But that's also important that you know... Like when you're writing the book, you know what that work is.
Right.
Which also I think that's why Hemingway was so happy in Key West, because he knew what he was going to write.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm excited to get up in the morning.
Right.
I'm going to do it until I feel like I've kind of fizzled out, and then I'll enjoy the day.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what
that's would very be common routine. Too. And he had his great thing was always know what you're going to do the next day. Like when you're when you wrap up, know where you're headed.
Okay.
That was a really cool tip, I thought.
Uh-huh.
Like no, when you end, and it backs up your point of like him being enthusiastic to go after it the next day, because he knew, all right, I left off here and I'm heading in that direction, and you come in with like a game plan almost.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good helpful thing. Like if I just peter out and just split and then come back in, you're like, where was I? What am I doing? It's much better to be like, okay, no, I'm going to go into that essay, work on the ending, and then move on.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because he was the, you know, I guess Twain was probably like the first rock star writer.
Right.
But Hemingway was like the first guy that like, they're turning his books into movies. So like...
Right.
The movie stars want to meet with him, and the, you know, so it's funny, in The Office they had, you know, he had like four different wives or whatever, so they have like, this was Marilyn, she was the Cuba years, and this was, you know, and it was always like, she was the nurse at the hospital in Paris, and she was a reporter who was interviewing him for this, and so he just had these stages, but he was like... You know, they built the first, like, paparazzi wall because people would just randomly come up to his house. Like, the guy who ended up being his kind of, like, best friend during the Cuba stuff when he wrote Old Man and the Sea, that guy was, like, just a random stalker guy that, like, he wanted to be a writer and he was in Detroit and, like, came all the way down to Key West and just, like, knocked on his door and was like, hey, anything you need, I just want to, like... be a part of your life and travel with you.
Oh, wow.
And that's what they say, is like, there's all these weird people like that, but for some reason, Hemingway really liked this guy.
Yeah, that's weird.
And I think he's the one that wrote Coffee with Hemingway, or there's some book about, like, just all his, like, meetings with him and what he was like.
Right, I think they might have made that into a film, actually.
Oh, okay.
I think someone, I saw some bit of it, and he's like, he was really mean to his wife.
Well, yeah. the one new one, the one with the Tom Cruise's ex-wife there, Nicole Kidman, that was the one about the wife he had that was like a reporter.
Right.
But yeah, they could make like three more of those. But they have, like, him, you know, like, Ingrid Bergman was in one of the movies, so it's like he's having dinner with her, and he's you're definitely like, okay, they hooked up for, like, a couple weeks. And then he's like, you know, you could tell, like, he was just a rock star, you know? Yeah, so he couldn't concentrate on writing after that because there's so many distractions.
Amazing. And then he just goes to Idaho and ends it.
Yeah, well, that was the thing, is he did the shock therapy because he got depressed after leaving Cuba. He loved Cuba because nobody could bug him, you know?
Right.
Didn't have any, you know, I guess maybe they didn't get translated in, so nobody knew he's a writer or whatever.
Funny.
And, yeah, he just loved Cuba so much, and when he had to leave, that was, like, devastating to him, I guess.
Yeah. The I have another update.
Okay.
This is from my father. He listened to our podcast.
the email controversy?
Before Thanksgiving. And he wanted me to know that he's not perverted and that his 69 email, his handle has 69 in it, was because he first went for 66 and it wasn't available. And then 67. And then he was like, well... He had meaning for whatever the other number it was, and then he was like, "Well, I'll never forget I won't forget 69." So he put that in, claiming it had nothing to do.
Why won't he forget 69? That's what I'm wondering.
Good point. So he just wants everyone to know that he's not a weirdo or a poivoit
until he Googles 69.
Yeah.
So where are you off to next? You're going back in the cold to New York, huh?
I know. They had snow and everything.
Yeah, they had my hometown, they had a snow day the night before they called it off. That's how bad it was.
Jeez Louise. Yeah, big snows and everything. And, you know, I don't have a lot of cold destinations this
year.
You know, last year we were...
That's great.
We were cruising in a lot of very cold places, but this year, not so bad. I think, you know, I'll be in New York several times. And then I've got one thing in Wilmington, Delaware in the beginning of January. I do have Detroit. What do I have in Detroit in February? Detroit Lakes. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, me neither. But then Florida, we've got our perfect setup in Florida. That's going to be sweet. And Nashville, Salt Lake City, California. I'm going to kind of avoid a lot of cold touring. Where last year we really put in our dues.
Yeah.
North Dakota, Minneapolis, South Dakota,
Fargo,
yeah,
Idaho Falls.
We had a
but you'll love Key West though, man. You'll dig it. It's like there was also a couple other weird things, like Pan Am was based there.
Oh yeah,
like the
Pan American Airlines.
Yeah, the airline that like you could. Yeah, you could just walk in and, like, get a ticket, and they have the building still there that you could just, like, you know, fly to Cuba from there or wherever. Yeah, and it's pretty cool. There's a ton of history there. I would have thought that the place would have been destroyed, like, 10 times over from all the hurricanes, but...
Yeah.
There's a ton of history there. It's kind of cool.
That is very cool. So maybe that's what we should do. That should be the next chapter. We'll go to Cuba.
I'd love to.
We'll go to Cuba and do the podcast from there. We'll be the first Americans podcasting from Cuba.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. Get big, fat cigars.
Did you smoke a cigar on Thanksgiving or no?
No, it was too cold.
Yeah.
It's raining, cold. Raining. Yeah. My father really enjoys them, but we had one, like, the day before. We're out there in, like, our winter coats on, like, the Wednesday.
Right.
But we haven't been able to really do too much.
That's what Angelo had it all spaced out. He's like, there's a smoking area at Terminal 37 in Miami. Like, you knew
he knows
exactly how many you're allowed to bring back
before
you get taxed and all that kind of stuff. We'll have to find the place here. He said this is like a great place down here.
Oh, so really? I think that changed hands. I forget what that one was. All right, dude. So you're here for a while now, right?
Yeah, I just have a little thing in San Francisco tomorrow for a day and then kind of coasting the rest of the way. So
nice. We'll have to get into some holiday fun. I posted on Instagram. We've got the whole the village it's not completed, but it's the train village is up and operational.
How big are the figures though? I'm trying to get like a hobo for your village.
Well, you got to eyeball it. There's a whole bunch. You know, my youngest is the most into the village, and she's now a well into her teen part of her life. And I was like really nervous that she was going to want to put all. We've through the years we've collected so many tiny figurines, all different sizes, mm-hmm. and I decided to ditch all the little ones that really don't can't stand, and they're really for like big models.
And you lose them all them too.
And I didn't put them out at all. She hasn't noticed.
Oh yeah,
that there's a lot less going on in the village right now, which is like good and bad. It's like, oh, she's kind of losing focus, but it's also good that she's losing focus.
Now, does the village allow Uber?
No Uber.
No scooters?
Car service only, no scooters, no Uber, none of it. It's just all old-timey goodness. All right, everybody, we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your shopping, and make sure you eat a lot of food. Get fat. This is the time. Work out a little. Take the edge off. Gluttony should rule the day. Enjoy your life.